hearts for the time in God's Word. Father, we're thankful for what this service has been, and we're thankful for the songs that are meaningful, the testimonies. We thank you for the reality of Christ in a life. And I pray that you would into our hearts now, as we turn to a familiar verse. I pray that though it's a familiar one, we might not turn our minds off and say, I know all about that verse. I pray, Father, that there might be somebody here tonight that the truth of this word is going to be what they have been looking for, and that you might get the glory in its effect and reality in each of our lives. We do pray, as we've been talking again about Gene, may your will be done. You know, Lord, your ways, your time, your plans. Be helping the family as they know their loved one is soon entering into your presence. We thank you that we, though we sorrow, we don't sorrow like those who have no hope. How we praise you for the reality of life in Christ Jesus. We look unto you with thankful hearts. In your name I pray. How many of you are ever tempted to sin? Is it surprising to see my hand up? You mean you're really tempted? As we think about God's Word, sometimes people talk, you know, I just wish I could get victory over such and such in my life. I've tried, I've failed, it just doesn't seem as though, sometimes people say as though there's any hope for me. I'm doomed, I fight, I start out on the right path and then down I go, and wouldn't it be great if we could get some encouragement on the victory side? How many of you would like some encouragement on the victory side in this area of temptation? What a strange topic for you to pick to talk about, Pastor. Really? Kind of relevant, don't you think? Yeah, it is. I haven't forgotten it, Andrew. The title is "That Tempts Me." That tempts me. I'm going to ask you a question here, and I do not want you to answer. But I want you to think. What tempts you? You know, there's probably how many people are over here? 20, 25? There's probably 25 different things in the minds of people. what tempts this person over here may not be any temptation to this person over here. Do you realize that there are certain things that may come your way? Or if we're going to talk about a brother or sister in the Lord, we might say, well, I wonder if such and such ever tempts brother so and so. I wonder if this thing ever tempts sister so and so. Listen to me and hear me correctly. I'm not saying that I have always victory over temptation. But what I want you to understand is, do you know there are some things that some people struggle with that I have never been tempted with in my life? But boy, there are some other things. And there's a temptation constantly with that. All I can say is, thank you, Lord, that temptation does not come from every direction and from every source. Oh, John, in his Sunday school, you know, isn't it wonderful that we can constantly find reasons to put in a plug for attending Sunday school, John? Yeah. It says here, I'm in James chapter 1. Here we go. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Years ago, there used to be, people thought it was kind of funny. It was a little saying, you'd see it on bumper stickers and this, that, and you know, the devil made me do it. Remember? Devil made me do it. And people got a big laugh out of that, making light of it. Did the devil make anybody do it? Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. The devil didn't do it, and we know God didn't do it, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his what? Own lust and enticed. Starts thinking about it. That's what I said a while ago when I said, I thank the Lord. You know, there are some realms of things that are out there in this world that have never tempted me. How thankful I am. But there are other things that it's a constant struggle with. Well, let's talk about that this evening. As we think about the advice that people are given in our day and age, we find that one of the things that you hear a lot of is if a person just has a positive mental attitude, everything is going to be okay. If they have a positive mental attitude. But at the suggestion of the word temptation, do you have a positive mental attitude, or in your mind is there defeat or victory? Is there struggle or is there conquest? We can have victory. You say, how, Pastor? One of the first things that I want us to do is turn to God's Word and understand something from the get-go in this area of temptation. Anybody have an idea what passage of Scripture we might be in tonight? How about 1 Corinthians 10, 13? We can probably say it from memory. Let's say it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. First thing I want us to understand and make sure we get on the table and out of our minds is, so many times you hear someone trying to justify themselves, they will come up with something like, nobody understands the struggles I'm having in this area. As though, out of all humanity, you're met face to face with a realm of temptation that is so unique that nobody else has it. Now that would make us feel good, wouldn't it? If we thought that I'm facing a realm of temptation and boy, I can't expect any victory because nobody else has ever struggled like I struggle. True or false, on the basis of 1 Corinthians 10:13?
False.
It's false. How do you know? Because what you're struggling with and what I'm struggling with, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, it's not unique. It is common. You're not the only one. As we look at this, there, I'd like us to just look at these words and go through this, such a familiar verse, but I trust such a helpful verse for us in the time that remains. First of all, Paul starts out by saying, there hath no temptation taken you. Taken you. Let's stop and think about that right there. When you think about Paul using these words, no temptation has taken you, what comes to your mind? About overpowered you? If we say something has taken something or someone, wouldn't the thought of being overpowered or overmuscled? And Paul says, I want you to understand here, as he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, your temptation is not unique. And he starts out by saying, there has no temptation ever taken. We're told that word means affections or evils seizing upon a person. Affections or evils seizing upon a person. Now, It'd be nice if we could claim that, wouldn't it? And if that were true, then who would be to blame? Would we be to blame if some power or some affection or some desire had just overtaken a person and they couldn't help themselves? We'd all like to claim that, wouldn't we? We'd all like to be able to say, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. It just overpowered me. Get that argument right off of the plate, because Paul says there has no temptation ever overtaken a person. But what? It's the kind that is common to man. There again, your temptation, your struggle, mine, it is not so unusual, so unique, that nobody has ever struggled with it, and consequently nobody has ever conquered it. This word common. What tempts me tempts others. What tempts you tempts others. Common. Such as is common to whom? To man. It's adjusted to the strength of man. No temptation has taken you but such as is common to man, which means that it's not something that is going to relate to divine or angels or something like that. Paul said, I want you to understand that what you're struggling with is common for all people to struggle with. Aren't you? Let's just talk ourselves through this. Doesn't it make you feel just a little bit better to realize that the temptation that you're struggling with is not perhaps a temptation that would come up against an angel? And how am I supposed to have the strength like an angel would be to do the right thing? No. What we are tempted with, and it has never, there's nothing that's overtaken us that blindsided us that we couldn't handle. But instead, Paul said, it's that which is common. It's common to man. It's adjusted to the strength of man. We're not facing something that man can't conquer with the help of the Lord. Why? Because whatever the source of temptation is, it's common to us. So, I know that burst some bubbles, because I know sometimes people, they try to cry out, nobody has ever had to go through what I'm going through before. Really? Paul said, what you're going through, it's common. It's common to mankind. Yeah, we would like to pat ourselves on the back and justify ourselves and say, this struggle has been beyond the ability of man to be able to handle. Nonsense. We're not tempted with that which tempts angels or demons. We're tempted to, with that which tempts man, mankind. Okay, let's go on. He says, after that, but God is faithful. We saw, number one, that our temptation is common. Number two, we see he points out God's character. We're not trying to downplay the degree of temptation that you might be struggling with. Don't get me wrong. I look at you and you look at me, and we know in our hearts what we struggle with, don't we? But it's common. But the thing that Paul encourages us with next is, but God is faithful. He reminds us of God's character. And that is the key in our temptation. The key is we have a faithful God we can turn to. God's faithfulness. As we think of this, let's think of some other passages that remind us of God's faithfulness. Hold your finger here in our text in 1 Corinthians, but let's look at 2 Thessalonians 3:3. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful and shall establish or strengthen you and keep you from evil. That's a good promise, isn't it? At a time when we're struggling, at a time when we're in the heat of the battle, what have you got to resort to? God's Word and the truth of it, and we can open up God's Word and we can look at this and we can pour our hearts out. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. And I thank you that you are going to strengthen me and keep me from this evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, back a page. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. Isaiah 49:7. Isaiah 49:7 tells us this. It says, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him who the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is what? Faithful, and the Holy One of Israel. And he shall choose thee. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. We find the writer of Hebrews tells us this. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for faithful is he that promised. We can count on God's faithfulness. That's his character. And when we are struggling, we don't have to depend upon ourselves. We can turn to God. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Number three, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able. What can we learn about this temptation? It is controlled. Controlled. God knows your limits, and God knows my limits. So many times we try to justify ourselves and we say, the temptation was so strong, I just couldn't fight it off. Is that what Paul wrote here to the Corinthians? That you suddenly found yourself in something that had overpowered you, that God did not have the power available for you to overcome it at the time if you would have called upon him? No! It says he will not allow you or me to be tempted beyond what we are able to deal with. Now, he doesn't want us to depend and count on ourselves, but he wants us in the midst of the battle to cry out to the Lord, Lord, I need you. Lord, this is wrong. Lord, I want to please you. I want to do your will. I don't want to give in to the sin that is tempting me. We've seen that temptation is common, and because of God's character, he is faithful. He's not going to, and it is controlled. God knows our limits. I looked at that word, will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. And regarding the measure or degree, he will not allow that, or beyond your ability or my ability or strength to defeat it. That's what is involved here. He's not asleep up there and all of a sudden one of his children is so trapped that it's beyond measure or degree or beyond the ability or strength to get the victory. It's controlled. God knows what we can handle and what we can't. And you say, well, you know, doesn't God just let us make a fool of ourselves and let us fall flat on our face? That's right. But he never allows us to go beyond that which we are able. Which simply means we're never going to be able to cry, it was bigger than I could handle and I just couldn't defeat it. I couldn't defeat it. Not according to this. It's never beyond that which we are doing. We would like to justify ourselves. We would like to cry out, I was helpless. I got caught off guard. I didn't have my eyes open. We didn't want the victory, because if we would have wanted the victory, we would have gotten it. It's common. It wasn't more than we could handle. It's the kind that God is faithful, and he is not going to ever let us get into something above that which we are able to deal with. I was thinking before I got up here this evening, Lord, may the truth of your word build and encourage some broken heart this evening to see the truth. There is help for the child of God. Notice, we've seen it's common. We looked at God's character. We've seen that what we are going through, it's controlled. And here's a fourth C. It's conquerable. It's conquerable. What's another word for that? There's what?
Hope.
What do you mean it's conquerable? God provides a way of escape. But will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape. Also make a way of escape. Isn't that what we cry out for in those times when we're thinking clearly? And once in a while we do want to get victory over it. Sometimes we're having so much fun in our sin, we really don't want to be bothered by, yeah, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but boy, I'm sure having a good time here. You say, Pastor, you make me sound pretty awful. How do you think Pastor knows that? I'm a red-blooded man. I get up in the morning and I put my right foot in my right jeans leg first, just like you do. You say, how do you know? Check it out next time you put on a pair of jeans. Everybody puts their right foot in first. Just do that. Check it out. You see, I'm not some unusual. I'm not something that, well, you know, he's talking about some things, but boy, he never struggles. He never has to deal. He never has to work on anything. Who's been feeding you a pack of lies? I'm a man. I struggle with my thoughts. I struggle with my looks. I struggle with what I might listen to. I say, Pastor, I didn't know that. Welcome to the real world, people. Welcome to the real world. And we find here it is conquerable. God provides the way of escape. And did you notice he did not provide the way of escape the way I would have if I were designing this? Have you ever noticed that many times, many things, God doesn't do it the way I would do it or you would do it? What are you getting at, Pastor? Well, I would think the way of victory is to make the temptation go away. Is that what he says he does?
No.
No. Instead, what do we see? But will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape. It would be the simplest if God would just take take the temptation away. But that's not how it works. The temptation stays there, will with the temptation. Now whose court is the ball in? Isn't it in the sinner's court, in the person's court? Do you really want a way of escape, or do you want to continue in the temptation? Isn't that what this is saying? But will with the temptation make a way of escape? God doesn't take the temptation away. God wants to know, do you really want victory or don't you? Do I really want victory or don't I? The proof is, will I take advantage of the way of escape from the temptation that God is providing at the time? 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, 7, 8, and 9. It tells us here, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. We looked at this morning, as we think about providing the way of escape, isn't it tragic that the angels had to grab Lot by the hand and drag him out of the city? Isn't that a tragedy? Isn't it a tragedy that sometimes we are so fond of our sin that though God has provided a way of escape, we're so reluctant to let it go and turn our back on it? Psalm 34, 15 through 19. Psalm 34, 15 through 19. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Do we really want help? If we do, we find that God is faithful. Number one, he's not going to let us get overwhelmed with something we can't handle. And number two, he's not going to take the temptation away. He's going to provide the way out right alongside of the temptation. And you and I must choose. Do you want the way of escape? Here it is. Maybe it is the remembrance of some verse. Maybe it is a reminder of some promise that you have made to someone. Maybe it's There's all kinds of things that God could bring your way. As I said, it'd be so easy if he'd just take the temptation away. But the point is, do you really want victory over it? If it is alongside, right with the temptation, is going to be God's provision for you and me. And the question is, will I take advantage of it? As we think of this, the questions we need to ask are, do we want to escape? We looked at James 1, we know where temptation comes from. It isn't the devil made me do it, it's my own wicked, sinful heart makes me do it. The victory is surely partially found in Romans chapter 6. What do you mean, partially found? That's part of God's way of escape. Reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin. That's Paul's message to us. That's part of the way of escape in Romans chapter 6. One last C for you note takers. This temptation that comes our way, we find it's compatible. What do you mean by that? That you may be able to bear it. This takes us back to the beginning. When we would like to cry out and say, you know, this thing just overtook me and I couldn't conquer it. I couldn't get any victory over it. And so I'm just a victim. No, it's compatible. Paul closes that verse by saying, that temptation which came your way, which all those different features, God has made it possible so that you might be able to bear it. What tempts you may be something that smacks you in your face every day at your job. And you can't just bury your head in the sand. And you cry out, I just wish I could get victory. And you may be able to bear it. God's provided the way. Well, I trust this was a help. I trust this was some encouragement to you. Temptation. It's not a laughing matter. Praise God for the victory. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this verse. Thank you for its truth. It's up to us now to respond to the truth you have given us. May we be doers of your word and not hearers only. Knowing the answer but not acting on it is meaningless. I pray, Father, that we would be able to see you lead us and guide us to areas of victory in our lives. All for your glory. We thank you for what we've seen tonight. And we thank you for its truth. May we act on it. As we dismiss and gather in fellowship, all have a bit of refreshment and nourishment. I pray that we might honor you in our conversation, then help us as we get things set up for that service tomorrow. And then as we make our way home, I pray that you would Take each one safely. We thank you now in your name.